يقولون سلام سلام ولا هنا سلام.
You're listening to Middle East Analysis, a podcast series from the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales. Hello, and welcome to not so much a Middle East analysis, but a Middle East update. Clearly, in the region at the moment, the story is moving, events are moving in a very, very, very fast-paced manner. And we're fortunate enough to have our lawyer, consultant, and general aficionado in the area, Dr. Harry Hagopian. Harry, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, James. It's nice to be here, very briefly.
Good to have you here. And as I say, moving very quickly, we have 3 points to make, and I'm going to push you to make 3 reasonably succinct responses to these. We're going to talk about the amendment to the Egyptian constitution, mm-hmm. in particular what that might mean for the Christians of mm-hmm. Egypt. We're going to talk, as we must, about Christians in Libya. Might mm-hmm. be a minority, but mm-hmm. needs our consideration. And finally, I noticed in the previous article you contributed to, we were talking about the resignation of the Lebanese Maronite cardinal, Cardinal Sverre. So if we can touch upon those. But Harry, first of all, can we start with the amendment to the Egyptian constitution?
Yes, very quickly, James, and those aren't really analyses or even in-depth comments about any of those topics. It's just alerting our listeners and readers to the fact that these things are happening in the Middle East as we speak. In terms of the Egyptian constitution, some of your readers and listeners would know that as a result of the overthrow of President Hosni Mubarak, the constitution was suspended last month, and a constitutional review committee was formed in order to examine the constitution and introduce the necessary amendments in view of a public referendum. Now, what has happened is that this body is doing its job. Now, let me take one step back and say that in 1980, the late President Anwar Sadat, who was assassinated some years after he signed the Camp David Treaty with Israel, he had introduced a new constitution which in Article 2 mentioned that Islam is the official religion of the state, Arabic is its official language, and Islamic jurisprudence is the one that needs to be followed in Egypt. Now, what has happened is with the amendments and with the constitutional review going on, there have been some Christian organizations that are saying perhaps it is time to revise this second article of the Constitution because, as we have spoken before on numerous occasions and in a couple of podcasts, there are many, many Coptic Christians in Egypt. However, the interesting thing, and I think this is a very wise decision, Pope Shenouda has actually mentioned in a statement only this weekend that he wouldn't necessarily wish to see Article 2 of the Constitution abrogated, but because that would actually stoke up feelings, enhance polarization in the country. There are many Muslims who would not take kindly to the fact that this particular clause is being tinkered with by the amendment, but that due notice is also given for freedom of worship and freedom of cult for the Coptic Christians in Egypt. In other words, those 10% of the overall population. So my only advice at the moment, James, is this is a very interesting procedure taking place in Egypt, and I think we should follow it up and perhaps in some due course talk about it a bit more, both from its legal implications as well as its religious ramifications.
Absolutely, Harry. Now, I know that actually you're going to be out of the country in terms of England.
And I'm going to give your listeners and readers a break.
Not too much of a break. I mean, we've said that this is moving quickly, so we'll probably need an update from you over the phone.
You know where to find me.
Fantastic. Let's move on to serious matters. They're all serious matters, but Christians in Libya, give us a take on that.
Christians in Libya, the only point I wanted to make there is to draw your attention to the fact that there are Christians in Libya. When we talk about Libya, unlike Egypt and unlike places like Israel, Palestine, Syria, Jordan, Iraq, Lebanon, we tend to forget that there is a Christian population. In fact, Libya is probably something like 6.7 or less than 7 million population, of which 1.8% are Christian. And the Christians have a very, very important role to play. If you look at the healthcare centers being operated in the country, if you look at the hospitals being operated in the country, the Christian nuns and the church are playing a big role. In fact, we in the Catholic Church have two big churches, one in Benghazi, East Libya, and one in Tripoli, West Libya, as do the Orthodox and the other Reformed churches. So all I wanted to do is draw the attention of everybody listening to us or reading us that Libya is in the moment in the throes of a violent change of regime, but that also there are Christians there for whom we should pray, because they're doing a wonderful job under extremely difficult circumstances.
I think very wise to bring that up, particularly as everyone's talking about repatriation and everyone's concentrating on foreign nationals.
Precisely.
A very good point to make. Harry, let's move on to the resignation of the Lebanese Maronite Cardinal, Cardinal Sfair.
Yes, Cardinal Sfair, a nonagenarian, wonderful person, Bishop Declan Lang of the International Affairs Department, and I met with him when we were in Lebanon, as you know, last summer on an official visit. He's been there for a long time, since the 1980s, and he has been one of the barometers of Lebanese politics and somebody who has protected the interests of the Lebanese Christian communities. He himself is the head of the Maronite Catholic community, which is the largest in Lebanon. Now, due to old age, and I suppose 30 years of playing politics in Lebanon does wear you down, he had submitted his resignation to the Holy Father in Rome, and the last week he was in Rome, actually, because a statue of Marmaroun, Saint Maroun, the founder of the Catholic Maronite Church, was actually placed in the facade of the Basilica of St. Peter, and I understand you're going to Rome so you might see it. And interestingly enough, James, next to that statue is the statue of St. Gregory the Illuminator, who is one of the most important saints of the Armenian Church. So in a sense, the resignation letter has been accepted by the Holy Father, and therefore we will expect elections to take place probably sometimes in the next couple of months, and a new leader for the Maronite Church worldwide will be elected. So our prayer is again that the Holy Spirit will guide them to make the right choices at a very difficult moment for all Christians in the Middle East.
Absolutely, Harry. And I appreciate you coming in, Harry. It's a whistle stop, this one. We've made it very quick and sharp. And I know each one of these particular points needs further assessment, and we will certainly give it that in the coming weeks.
We would, James. And let me just invite your readers and listeners, as they pray for the peace of that whole region, as they follow with interest what is happening, because it is really a fascinating, epic moment for the whole region. What I would also say is, when we do discuss a bit further those issues, is to see how difficult it is to undertake revolutions or uprisings or rebellions or changes in any particular part of the world, because we started with Tunisia, went through Egypt, now Libya and many other countries, and already there are tensions building up within the new structures that were created in those countries. So it's not as simple as that. It's not easily just a question of closing one door and opening another. So I think we should follow with interest what's happening, not only in terms of how it affects Christians, but also how it affects the geopolitics of the whole world and our interests as Westerners and as Christians living in the West.
Hear, hear. Well, that's Dr. Harry Hagopian, the Bishop's consultant on the Middle East and lawyer and political commentator on the region. Harry, thank you.
My pleasure, James.